Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Family and friends of Alicia Watts are gathering right now to honor her memory. The significance of today's event.
And we're talking about a wetter weather pattern. Here comes our first round of rain. We have days more of it to come. I'll show you which days look the wettest.
Your vote makes a difference in November, not this Tuesday. If you would like to be removed from future calls, please press 2 now.
As voters head to the polls today in New Hampshire, that state's attorney general is investigating a deep fake phone call impersonating President Biden.
Tomorrow marks 5 months since the body of Alicia Watts was found deep in the woods in Montgomery County. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Her boyfriend, James Dunmore, was arrested for her murder. Today, family and friends of Alicia are gathering in Moore County for a prayer vigil. And that's where we find WRAL's Chelsea Donovan outside the Montgomery courthouse. Chelsea.
Yeah, Michelle, friends and family starting to trickle in here at the Montgomery County Courthouse. As you mentioned, they're hoping to just simply keep Alicia Watts's name alive. The goal here, keeping her name in the spotlight, and they plan to do, though, this morning. They're gathering here, of course, at the Montgomery County Courthouse. This is where they assume, and we assume, James Dunmore, her boyfriend that's charged in her murder, will go on trial. That time, of course, in the near future. We don't know that date yet, but you'll recall in this case, it was digital evidence from a cell phone that led investigators to find 39-year-old Watts. She's from Moore County. She was found dead by a cemetery near the small town of Norman. That's about 20 minutes from her home in Moore County. Now, investigators say Watts' body had been there since July 18th, 2 days after she was last seen in Charlotte with James Dunmore. Now, since late August, 51-year-old Dunmore has been sitting in a Montgomery County jail. This was a missing persons mystery that took a month before the arrest. Back out here live at the Montgomery County Courthouse, we understand there are several pastors that plan to arrive to engage the crowd here in prayer. We also know that Dunmore is expected back here in a Montgomery County courtroom on Monday. We, of course, are waiting to talk with prosecutors to see what is expected to happen in that case on Monday or if this case will be continued.
All right, Chelsea Donovan live outside the Montgomery County Courthouse. Thanks, Chelsea. And Smithfield police are looking for this man, 20-year-old Marquise McCain. Officers say he shot and killed someone at the Johnson County Apartments complex on K Drive. The victim's name has not been released. Police say McCain should be considered armed and dangerous.
Gray skies are here to stay for the rest of the week. Chances for rain increase along with the temperatures. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at that warmer, wetter pattern, Elizabeth.
We're starting with dual Doppler 5000 radar. We've seen some light showers back in some of our western counties. We saw this developing earlier this morning back across parts of the Piedmont. The air mass sitting over us right now is very dry. You've probably felt it on your skin. We had that Arctic blast with us the last few days. So this is going to have to overcome a lot of dry air. So we're taking a look at where that rain is showing up right now. You can see that band pushing over Apex. You can see it in Chapel Hill and in Durham. But what is likely happening is the radar beam is looking up into the cloud, and a lot of that is actually evaporating before it reaches the ground. So we see it here on the radar, but we may not see it on the ground. We'll head up to the north around Roxboro. We've had a little bit of patchy rain there and moving up toward Mecklenburg County, Virginia. But this is very light, and that's the way it's likely to be. Now we take a look at Apex. And it does look like that maybe a little bit of that rain is reaching the ground. It looks like we can see a few raindrops there, and it looks like the street there is a little bit damp. So it looks like, at least in spots, that rain has overcome the dry air. We'll continue to see it through lunchtime. It'll push on into the eastern part of the viewing area, and by about 3 or 4 o'clock, it's tapered off. It shouldn't be still falling during the evening commute, but there might still be some damp streets. So from now all the way until around 4 o'clock, expect some scattered showers, and then that chance of rain decreases. Our temperatures are going up. It's already 51 degrees in the Triangle, 55 in Clinton, 52 in Rocky Mount. We're seeing our flow coming out of the south. It's going to continue to bump up those temperatures. We're looking at 5 to 10 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday. Temperatures will hold in the 40s through the evening, and we'll talk about how much warmer the temperatures will be for the rest of the week in just a bit.
City leaders want you and your family to feel safer when you visit downtown Raleigh.
Right now, they're meeting to get an update on efforts to make that happen. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the city's actions after an uptick in crime downtown.
The meeting is happening right now, and we've been telling you about this. You may have experienced this or seen this for yourself, but crime in downtown Raleigh is up. We're in Glenwood South right now, and this is an area where we've seen an uptick in crime. City leaders are meeting to get an update today. A look at how the city's recent efforts to stop crime downtown are working. WRAL's data trackers dug into crime trends last year. They tracked crime in the area between the Warehouse District and Moore Square. Between January and August, Raleigh police reported 216 assaults in that area alone. Since we've seen this uptick in crime, the city has upped security. Last month, armed security was placed around the Go Raleigh station near Moore Square. They patrol every day from 4 a.m. till midnight. Today, city leaders are also talking about new strategies, new ways to prevent crime downtown. We'll stay on top of this and keep you updated once that meeting ends. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
And going to a high school basketball game in Wake County might soon require a clear bag instead of a purse. A Wake County School Board Committee is planning to discuss the policy change proposal today. It would be for all spectator events. That means plays and concerts as well. Millbrook High School started requiring clear bags and made several other changes after a student was found with a loaded gun in his jacket at a basketball game. The board is considering some exceptions for things like medical devices. You can find out more about the proposal on the education section of WRL.com. We'll also be following the meeting happening this afternoon. And Durham leaders are looking for your thoughts on how the city's upcoming budget should be prioritized. A community conversation on the budget is planned tonight from 6 to 8. It's happening at the Durham Armory on Foster Street. This will be the third in a series of three in-person forums. There will also be a virtual meeting January 30th.
It's voting day in New Hampshire. Former South Carolina governor and U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley is hoping to pull out a surprise win. But polls show former President Trump with a big lead, one that will be tough to overcome. NBC's Bree Jackson is in New Hampshire with details on that and a robocall mystery.
The first few ballots this morning officially tallied in New Hampshire. Tiny Dixville notch overnight with six voters unanimously backing former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley in a race now down to two candidates. Former President Trump hoping for a show of GOP force alongside former primary rivals Tim Scott, Doug Burgum, and Vivek Ramaswamy. Ron DeSantis, not on stage, but he has an open invitation, according to a Trump campaign official, after DeSantis dropped out of the race Sunday and endorsed the former president, who's already looking ahead to the general election.
You're going to put Crooked Joe and his protectors on notice that we are coming in November.
New polling shows him leading Haley by 19 points here.
So what does a good night look like?
I don't know. I like wins. You know, I don't like when people say, you're up by 4,762 points. And then if you win by 4,700, they say it's a gross failure.
For Haley today, pressure to prove she can stop or slow Mr. Trump's march to the GOP nomination in the one-on-one race her campaign has wanted. Haley making the case this is not a coronation with NBC's Ali Vitale.
Why should we assume, this time we have to have Biden and Trump? That's not fair to the American people. More people deserve to be able to vote. And I'm going to give them that option.
Haley's campaigning with New Hampshire's popular Republican Governor Chris Sununu. To do well in this state, she'll have to win independents like Gary and Brenda Goodrow, both turned off by Mr. Trump. But Gary plans to vote for Chris Christie instead.
I realize people tell me I'm wasting my vote, but I have to look at myself in the mirror.
Brenda will write in President Biden's name, but knew this morning fallout over a robocall pretending to be from President Biden, urging people not to vote today.
What a bunch of malarkey.
That sounds like Joe Biden, but it's not, with the state's attorney general saying it appears to be artificially generated, calling it an attempt to suppress New Hampshire voters.
As Bree Jackson reporting, President Biden's name does not appear on the ballot today because Democrats moved to make South Carolina their first sanctioned primary state. There is a write-in campaign, though, that is growing, so Biden could still win today.
The Defense Department has identified two Navy SEALs who were declared dead after being lost at sea during a nighttime raid near Somalia. The commander of Special Warfare Group 1 described Christopher Chambers and Nathan Ingram as exceptional warriors, cherished teammates, and dear friends. The two SEALs were part of an operation on January 11th that was attempting to seize a vessel illegally transporting advanced lethal aid from Iran to resupply Houthi forces in Yemen. One of the SEALs was trying to tied to the board vessel in rough seas and fell into the water. The other dove in to help, and they both disappeared. The Navy searched for the two men for 10 days before it was called off. And the Israeli military says 21 soldiers were killed yesterday in the Gaza Strip in a single incident. This is the deadliest day for its forces since the war began. Israel has ordered civilians to evacuate from the area around the Al-Nasser Hospital, which is the last major functioning hospital in Gaza. The World Health Organization has expressed concern about the fighting near hospitals.
S&P 500 had a record day yesterday. So did the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Wall Street. As we check the numbers right now, though, the Dow has dipped below 38,000 where it reached yesterday. It's down 165 points right now. S&P 500 relatively unchanged this noon. The New York Stock Exchange down 22, and the NASDAQ is down marginally as well. Coming up next at noon, the Supreme Court has stepped in on the battle to control the southern border. What yesterday's ruling allows the government to do that is fueling a standoff with Texas.
Also, Oscar nominations are out. The film that took the most and the popular movie star who got snubbed.
Plus, jury selection for separate trials for the parents of Michigan school shooter Ethan Crumbley. How the trial could pit the parents against each other.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, the town of Apex and the Apex Towns Council plans to honor the memory of two women shot and killed in an Apex neighborhood last week. A candlelight vigil is set for January 29th, which is Monday. Also, the town council tonight will honor both. Mayor Jock Gilbert says the town council will honor Nancy Taylor and Gabrielle Raymond tonight with a moment of silence at the beginning of tonight's town council meeting.
Monday's Supreme Court ruling will allow President Biden's federal Border Patrol agents to cut razor wire along the Rio Grande River installed by the state of Texas. Dana Marie McNichol reports the ruling escalates a political battle between Texas Governor Abbott and the Biden administration over how to stop the flow of illegal migrant crossings, which are at an all-time high.
A Supreme Court ruling is giving the federal government more flexibility here at the southern border. The justices ruling Monday that Border Patrol can cut and remove about 30 miles of razor wire installed along the Rio Grande by the state of Texas, escalating a political battle between President Biden and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The decision immediately condemned by most Republican lawmakers who say physical barriers are the best way to stop the flow of illegal migrant crossings.
We need to let Greg Abbott do his job, which is to put up the razor wire. I stand with Texas. We've got to secure this border.
And with those crossings at an all-time high, the Biden administration is putting a greater focus on border security, claiming the president wants to do more, but it's up to Congress to appropriate funding. At the same time, the White House is also pushing for big changes to the immigration system.
He's asking for more resources, and he wants to see additional resources, but also changes to policy to address what we've been seeing at the border.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they're close to a deal on a new bill that would include significant funds for border security, but it would also increase the number of migrants allowed to cross legally. A sticking point for some Republicans.
I'm not for just having 1.8 million people come across the border. I think there are national security problems with that.
That was Dana Marie McNichol reporting. A federal appeals court has ruled that Mexico can sue a group of U.S. gun manufacturers and a distributor. The claims made by the country are statutorily exempt from a law that typically protects the companies from liability. Mexico filed a lawsuit in August of 2021 alleging the defendants, among them brands including Smith & Wesson, Colt & Glock, design, market, distribute, and sell guns in ways that arm Mexican drug cartels.
As Hawaii tries to rebuild after last year's deadly wildfires in Maui, Hawaii's governor wants to charge tourists for visiting the island. Governor Josh Green is bringing back efforts to enact a climate impact fee, which would focus on reducing the state's reliance on fossil fuels. This proposal would charge visitors $25 if they stay at a short-term rental or an island hotel. Lawmakers in Hawaii also brought back the so-called green fee. Now, if the bill passes, visitors would be charged $50 to offset environmental impacts of tourism.
We're trying to raise revenues, and we're also trying to curb the sheer number of people that travel to Hawaii. So when people say, you know, maybe 1% fewer people will come because they hear there's a new fee, that's okay. I'd rather have longer stays where people really invest in a robust vacation.
And the governor says that that impact fee has the ability to produce more than $68 million a year.
Awards season is in full swing in Hollywood, and the march to the Academy Awards is underway with nominations announced this morning for the 96th annual event. Mark Barger has highlights on how some of the major films fare.
Welcome to one of the most exciting days of the year.
It was especially exciting for Oppenheimer, as that film led the way at this morning's Academy Award nominations with 13, including Best Picture, Best Director for Christopher Nolan, Best Actor for Cillian Murphy, and Supporting Bids for Emily Blunt and Robert Downey Jr.
Do you guys ever think about dying?
Barbie is also in the Best Picture hunt, 8 nominations overall, including supporting nods for America Ferrera and Ryan Gosling. But Margot Robbie missed out in the Best Actress category, as did Greta Gerwig for Best Director.
Money flows freely here now. I do love that money, sir.
Killers of the Flower Moon earned 10 nominations, including Best Picture and Best Director for Martin Scorsese. Lily Gladstone's Best Actress nod is the first for a Native American, but her co-star Leonardo DiCaprio missed out on a Best Actor bid.
And your sad face makes me discover angry feelings for you.
Emma Stone's performance in Poor Things gives her a shot at her second Best Actress win. Co-star Mark Ruffalo is also up for Best Supporting Actor and the film for Best Picture.
Bingo.
No bingo, Ned. These books have nothing to do with African-American studies.
American Fiction is among the other Best Picture contenders, as well as The Holdovers, the biopic Maestro, Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, and The Zone of Interest. The Oscar winners will be revealed March 10th. Mark Barger, NBC News.
So Barbie, but
I know.
No Barbie.
I know. Well, America Ferrera
got a nod for
supporting actress.
Ryan Gosling.
Nothing for Ryan Gosling. Nothing for Margot Robbie.
Ryan Gosling's in it. He's listed.
Yeah.
In,
yeah. Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Supporting,
so yeah. Margot Robbie's the only the one. Only one. And Greta Gerwig, yeah, the director. So,
amazing.
All right. We'll have to see. March 10th.
The Oscar goes to Elizabeth Gardner. WRN Severe Weather Center.
Yes, there is a lot of drama in the next 7 days. That is for sure. Starting off, you know, just a little bit lightly, and then we get into the rest of the week, and we see temperatures near record highs and days of rain and clouds. And, right out of Hollywood. All right, let's zoom in here and talk about some of this rain moving in. Now, you can see some showers over Durham, but I'm going to pull up the camera in Durham next, and you can see it doesn't necessarily look like the rain is reaching the ground there. But we did at the beginning of the newscast take a look at Apex, where it looked like there was rain moving through, and it is a little damp there. So some of this rain reaching the ground, it's going to be very, very light. It's going to be on and off all the way through, say, 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon, but very light amounts. Not everybody's going to see it, but it is moving through the triangle. This is a look at Durham. I think I'm going to try to pull this up every day at noon. I love it. These guys are always out there on the lawn at the D-Pack playing soccer. But you look at the sidewalk there, and it does not look like it's wet. Doesn't look like any of that rain in that vicinity is reaching the ground. 51 is our current temperature at RDU. Our dew point's at 25, so that's still a very dry air mass. If that temperature were closer to 50, then we would see things really moistening up. But we've got a long way to go there. Temperature likely to climb on up into the mid-50s this afternoon, and then we'll see the rain tapering off. You can see here's future cast with the showers continuing there at 2 o'clock. We'll push it on ahead to around 4 o'clock and really starting to fizzle at that point. It shouldn't be much rain left during the evening commute. We are trending drier for Wednesday. We're going to walk through Wednesday as well as Thursday, Friday and Saturday coming up in just a little while. For Thursday, 50% chance, 50 Friday and 50 Saturday. Now, we're not looking at an all day rain each day. A lot of that's going to be nighttime. So again, I'll walk you through that coming up in just a little bit. Let's take a look at temperatures across the area. 40s still in Roxborough and South Hill, but it's 50 55 in Clinton right now, 53 in Goldsboro. The warm air is moving up from the Gulf of Mexico, so those northern counties will be the last ones to see that warm up. But generally, we're looking at 5 to 10 degrees warmer than we were this time yesterday. Around town, looking at 54 in Raleigh, 53 in Durham, and 57 for the high in Fayetteville. Our wind has been fairly light for today, but watch what happens as we get through the next 24 hours. Watch these wind streams, these arrows. All of a sudden, we get into Wednesday, and they really start to move faster and turn red. That's going to bump up our temperatures well into the 60s, and then eventually 70s on Thursday and Friday. So 52 is our normal high. We're close to that today. We jump into the 60s Wednesday and 70s for Thursday and Friday, 73 and 74, respectively. The record highs are in the upper 70s, so we'll be 4 or 5 degrees from records on Thursday and Friday. And we typically do see one or two days in the 70s in January. The record was 10 back in 2005, and we're not likely to hit that. We typically see those warmer temperatures in the 70s by April 15th, but for the next couple of months or so, our normal highs are still in the 50s. We'll take a look at that 7-day forecast. So unusually warm Thursday and Friday. Temperatures will drop a bit over the weekend, and then we're back to normal on Monday with some sunshine and a high in the low 50s. Again, coming up, we're going to walk through the end of the week and the weekend, and I'll show you when it looks wettest.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. A fight at a Chatham County High School basketball game left a principal injured and an 18-year-old now facing charges. We'll look into the work being done to improve safety at games and inside schools at 6 o'clock.
Also, 5 Under Side reveals some of the foods you eat have higher levels of chemicals and plastics than others. What to look out for and how to avoid the effects of that.
Welcome back. On your Tuesday afternoon, you were taking a live look at a cloudy Lake Gaston. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. The FAA is calling for checks of door plugs on other models of Boeing 737 planes. The 737-900 is older than the MAX 9, but uses the same door plug design. The FAA notes that the door plug has not been an issue with the 737-900 model, and airlines including Alaska, Delta, United, they all say they've already begun inspecting their fleets.
Federal Trade Commission has banned TurboTax from advertising that its services are free. The agency had sued the tax filing software's owner, Intuit, over deceptive advertising. The FTC alleged that most tax filers didn't actually qualify to use the free services being advertised. The commission banned TurboTax from advertising free services unless it was free for all of its customers. Intuit is appealing the decision to a federal court. The U.S. Postal Service has introduced its new electric vehicles. 50 of the EV delivery vans and 100 chargers rolled out yesterday. It's part of a broader $40 billion plan to transform the post office while cutting its carbon footprint. Eventually, the post office plans to have at least 66,000 electric vans and tens of thousands of chargers.
Crypto crimes went down last year, but studies reveal criminals might be changing their tactics. Online crimes came to a peak in 2022, but fell dramatically in 2023. Experts are warning that crypto criminals may be upping their game for 2024 by switching to romance scams. That's when the scammers build a relationship with a vulnerable target to trick them into sending their money. And the latest Apple software update includes new security measures. The company says the iOS 17.3 will require users to scan their face or fingerprint when accessing private information like saved passwords or even applying for an Apple card. The company is also adding a waiting period while updating an Apple ID password or iPhone passcode. Users will need to use one of the biometric scans before and after an hour wait to update the passwords.
Panera is making sure its charged lemonade drink is out of the reach of some customers following lawsuits. The chain is moving its highly caffeinated drink from the self-serve fountains to behind the counter at some locations. This comes after several lawsuits filed against Panera alleged the charged lemonade drink caused health problems, even death. Some locations are putting up signs warning customers about the drink's caffeine content. Jury selection is underway for one of the parents of a Michigan teenager convicted of a deadly shooting. Why attorneys for Ethan Crumley now say they plan to appeal that conviction.
And the number of deaths from fake drugs has skyrocketed since 2019. How some agencies hope to a new smartphone app could help detect the dangerous drugs ahead of time. And as we head to break, here's your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Earlier this morning, jury selection set to get underway in the first of two separate trials for the parents of 21-year-old 2021 Oxford school mass shooter Ethan Crumbley. The rare case could pit the parents against each other. NBC's Adrian Broaddus has more.
This morning, history unfolding in a Michigan courtroom. Jennifer Crumbley, the mother of convicted school shooter Ethan Crumbley, starts trial. Her husband, James Crumbley, also facing manslaughter charges, will be tried separately. In 2021, Ethan Crumbley opened fire at a suburban Michigan high school, killing four students and injuring several others. Prosecutors say he used a semi-automatic handgun purchased by his dad as an early Christmas gift days before the shooting. Crumbley, 15 at the time, posting online, quote, "Just got my new beauty today."
The terror that he caused in the state of Michigan and in Oxford is a true act of terrorism.
Prosecutors also say there were warning signs days before the shooting when a teacher saw Crumbley searching for ammunition online. His parents allegedly dismissed calls from the school at the time. Authorities say Jennifer Crumbley sent a text saying, quote, "LOL, I'm not mad at you. You have to learn not to get caught." And the day of the attack, a teacher discovering hand-drawn images of a gun pointing at the words, quote, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." Then both parents were called to the school, but prosecutors say they declined a request to take Ethan home. Crumbley, who was charged as an adult, received a life sentence without parole last month. Victims testified at his sentencing in December.
Justin told us he was in the bathroom with the shooter. The next text we got from him after was, quote unquote, "I love you guys." Little did I know that would be my last text I ever received from Justin.
But in newly revealed court documents, Crumbley is appealing the sentence, and his attorneys now say he will be advised to resist testifying in his parents' trials. Vin Johnson represents two students killed by Crumbley and others who escaped.
Those parents sat in that room with the administrators and didn't tell them about the gun, didn't tell them about all the problems that this kid was having at home, didn't tell them about any of this.
He says these families believe Jennifer and James Crumbley should be held accountable.
That was Adrian Broaddus reporting. Well, jury selection in the trial of two men charged with the murder of Run DMC's Jam Master Jay begins today. Ronald Washington and Carl Jordan are charged with shooting the hip-hop pioneer whose real name was Jason Mizell. It happened in 2002 at his recording studio in New York. For years, his death lingered as a cold case, with witnesses reluctant to speak up. A third person, Jay Bryant, was also charged in the murder. He will be tried separately. Opening statements scheduled for January 29th.
And happening now in the WRAL Live Center, new information into the death of an Elizabeth City State University student from Nash County. Take a look at brand new video into our newsroom. Police say the body of 19-year-old Amariah Smith was found in the trunk of a car parked outside this business. Police say that car belongs to Jordan Smith, who is now charged with murder and is in the Chowan County Jail without bond. Police say a tow truck driver discovered that body after towing that car away from that private parking lot. Investigators believe Smith was murdered in a different location based on evidence found at the residence where Thomas lived. We'll continue to follow this investigation and keep you updated.
The man who stole the iconic ruby slippers Judy Garland wore in The Wizard of Oz says an old mob boss asked him to do it. Terry Martin is scheduled to be sentenced next week. He stole the shoes from the Judy Garland Museum in Minnesota back in 2005. They were recovered by the FBI after a sting operation in 2018. Martin told authorities he wanted to make, quote, one last score after the mob associate asked him to swipe the slippers. Due to his declining health, prosecutors have agreed not to recommend any jail time.
Counterfeit drugs are killing Americans, and some companies are turning to technology for help, specifically artificial intelligence. Jake Karalexis takes a look.
when you can identify every item irrefutably, you can make sure that counterfeit items don't come in.
Alitheon's CEO, Roy Gonzarski, demonstrates how this smartphone app and stand can validate over-the-counter drugs by taking a picture of the packaging and verifying the pharmaceutical company that produced them.
So every pill, every bottle, whatever it is that they want to protect, everyone that goes by, a camera simply automatically takes a picture of every one of them. In that instance, a digital fingerprint, or what we call a feature print, is created and stored.
Right now, we're testing medicine you could find in a pharmacy. But Gonzarski says the app can also identify fake pills laced with fentanyl.
It might be counterfeit fentanyl. It might be actual other medicine laced with fentanyl. The ability for us to identify every item as a unique item that came from the original manufacturer means that you cannot get away with tampering.
The latest data from the DEA says they seized almost 60 million fentanyl-laced fake pills in 2022.
We're just trying to keep a lid on it. It's so prevalent wherever we go. Fentanyl is obviously the drug of choice right now.
Bain says they have a strong method for identifying fentanyl, but also thinks artificial intelligence could help the cause.
That technology would be extremely important for us to have something like that, that we could actually, you know, use our smartphones and pull something up immediately to see what's going on.
And that was Jay Karalexis reporting. The most recent data from the CDC says the number of overdose deaths from counterfeit prescription drugs more than doubled from the middle of 2019 through the end of 2021.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, a traffic alert along Capitol Boulevard and Harris Road. Let's give you some perspective, courtesy of the Google Maps here, to show you where we're talking about. We're told this crash involves five vehicles and it's closed all but one lane along North Capitol Boulevard at Harris Road. And to give you some perspective, this is the Harris Theater right here. The Richland Creek Elementary School is right here. But again, this is happening on Capitol Boulevard at Harris Road. This crash is causing significant amount of delays. We'll keep tracking it and keep you updated here in the WRA Live Center.
Meantime, just ahead, it is one of the most commonly performed surgeries, knee replacement, and new technology could make future surgeries easier. We'll tell you how. For news, traffic, and weather of the day, be sure to download the WRAL News app. Each year, doctors perform more than a million knee surgeries on people around the world. In the U.S. alone, the need for knee replacements is projected to grow by 673%. Knee replacement surgery often is done to relieve severe pain from wear and tear and arthritis. One orthopedic surgeon says the Mayo Clinic is at the forefront of total knee replacement innovation. They're developing advanced tools and delivering precision robotic surgery for people.
In certain systems, it allows us with a CT scan to better identify the patient's anatomy and to plan the patient's surgery in real time before we get into the operating room.
Robotics provide real-time data on the knee function during surgery, and it can also help identify if a patient is struggling after the procedure.
Treating loneliness and social isolation may lower health complications for people classified as obese. Researchers analyzed data from nearly 400,000 people in the UK. The study revealed all causes of death for people classified as obese was 36% lower in people who felt less lonely and socially isolated over time. Social isolation was the greatest risk factor for all causes of death, including cancer and depression. Samsung is racing against Apple to develop a blood sugar monitor that's non-invasive and doesn't break the skin. Bloomberg reports the work is part of broader efforts to include health features in a range of devices, including the Galaxy Ring that Samsung unveiled last week. The company aims to eventually give consumers a more complete assessment of their well-being through sensors on different parts of the body and around their home.
Rectifying injustices of the past, the historic significance of an art restoration project at UNC Chapel Hill's Art Museum.
And exciting news from Netflix, the streaming service is jumping into live entertainment, the exclusive rights the company landed, and how long the deal will run. Welcome back. 1244 on your Tuesday afternoon. Some of us starting to see a little bit of rain push in. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been telling us all morning long we could see it later on this afternoon.
This is a first round of what we could see for a number of days. Now, tomorrow looks like it'll be fairly light, if any. But then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll have increasing chances for rain. A little bit of light, patchy rain showing up here in Chatham County. We'll zoom in, and you can see from Durham northward up the I-85 corridor, we're seeing the showers all the way up towards South Hill. So some scattered rain there. We'll head back down to the south. Looks like it's ended in Hillsborough and Durham, but continuing to rain in Creedmoor up through Norlina and again along the I-85 corridor. We'll take a look at Apex, and we did have a few sprinkles show up. I've been hard-pressed to find any spots, even underneath the patches of rain on the radar, that it looks like it's reaching the ground, but it definitely was reaching the ground there in Apex just a little while ago. It's not falling there now. So light, patchy rain for us up until around 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. Our temperatures are on the mild side, 55 in Clinton now, 54 in Goldsboro, still 40s around Roxboro and South Hill, but our temperatures will continue to climb into the 50s and then only drop back into the 40s overnight tonight. Look at the big picture. We have thunderstorms across parts of Texas, a lot of rain up the Mississippi Valley, and some wintry precipitation from Chicago over to New York. A little bit of wintry mix possible over in the mountains. We're showing that. That's showing up on radar. I think most of that is over at that point. That was just at the beginning of the loop. But we've definitely seen the Gulf moisture start to move up the Mississippi Valley and into the eastern part of the country, including us. So again, looking at this scattered light rain, looks like it's over by the time we get to the evening commute. And then it's pretty dry overnight. We'll likely stay cloudy. This is 7 a.m. tomorrow. There might be a few holes in the clouds and spots during the day tomorrow. There's lunchtime. We push it on out to 5 o'clock and just a couple of tiny little green spots showing up, but really nothing that looks consequential at all. Now we get to tomorrow at 5 o'clock and we're seeing some rain back into the mountains. That comes swinging in potentially by late on Thursday. You can see that chance of rain increases. We may see some heavier rain around 7 a.m. on Friday morning up until around lunchtime, and then a little bit of a break in the afternoon, and another round of some heavier rain possibly late Friday into early Saturday, and another round late Saturday into Sunday. So a lot of this is looking like evening time, and it seems like a lot of periods of rain, but a lot of those periods are going to be fairly light. So we're looking at an inch to an inch and a half to maybe up to 2 inches, especially in some of our southern counties. Of course, we have the warm temperatures that go along with it. 67 for tomorrow, 73 Thursday, 74 on Friday. And then finally, as the rain begins to taper off Sunday, we see temperatures falling back into the 50s for Monday under mostly sunny skies. But we do have a lot of periods of rain. Typically with a pattern like this, the timing can shift a little bit. So keep checking in, especially if you have a certain time that you need to be outside in the next few days.
A painting on display at UNC Chapel Hill's Ackland Art Museum has been removed and returned to the owners. The painting, called The Studio of Thomas Couture, was purchased by the school in the 1970s. The museum decided to return the artwork after learning that piece was originally stolen by Nazis from a Jewish family during World War II. And joining us now to talk about this is Dana Cowan, the art curator of the Ackland Art Museum. Dana, thanks so much for being with us today. What a story this is. Was there an aha moment? How did you learn of the background of this painting?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me. We first learned that there was a claim on this painting in May of 2022, and we were approached by an art historian who had discovered this painting in auction records, and through an online search of our collection, was able to locate the painting at UNC at the Ackland.
And so the Dorville family, you notified them. How'd you find them, first of all? That had to be an adventure. And what was their reaction?
Well, they actually found us. Okay. So they were working with a group in France who specializes in provenance research. And so this group contacted us. And so then we did our due diligence and went through the auction records and all of the files that they had provided for us and determined that indeed the painting was acquired in a dubious fashion.
Yeah, that's an understatement. The family sold the whole collection to pay to flee persecution, and they never got any money for it. Is this just a pursuit of righting a wrong?
Yes, this is absolutely something that was devastating for this family, especially because a number of members of the family were not able to leave, and so were sent to Auschwitz and did lose their lives. And so this is definitely a righting of a past wrong, and which is why restitution of looted items is so important.
Yeah, the artist died in 1941. It's been at UNC for 50 years. Can you describe the impact it has had on students being on campus there for that long?
Sure. The painting itself has been in several exhibitions. It has been published on a number of occasions. Students have used the work to understand what it's like to paint in a 19th century French studio. It's an important painting art historically because Thomas Couture, the studio of which is depicted, he was an important French artist in the 19th century and had many students over a long period of time. And one of those students was Edouard Manet. And Manet, of course, is one of the best well-known artists of the 19th century. And so this painting, many art historians try to determine if Manet is actually depicted in this painting. So it is an important work.
Yeah, it's a picture of students learning as someone is posing, and they're having doing an art class right there. It's pretty telling right there what those folks had been through and what the students could learn from it. Dana Cowan, art curator at Ackland Art Museum at UNC, thank you so much for your time and sharing this story.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Actress Margot Robbie brought Barbie to life, and now you can own a book of never-before-seen looks that she recreated, when the lookbook will be available to the public. And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. Good luck.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Tomorrow marks 5 months since the body of Alicia Watts was found deep in the woods in Montgomery County. Her boyfriend, James Dunmore, is charged in her murder. And today, Watts' family and friends held a prayer vigil in Moore County. They say the goal is to simply keep Alicia Watts' name in the spotlight. Smithfield police are looking for this man, 20-year-old Marquise McCain. Officers say he shot and killed someone at the Johnson Court Apartments complex on K Drive. The victim's name has not been released. Police say McCain should be considered armed and dangerous.
A Wake County School Board committee is planning to discuss a policy change proposal today that could require a clear bag at all spectator events. That means games, plays, and concerts. Millbrook High started requiring clear bags and made several other changes after a student was found with a loaded gun in his jacket at a basketball game. The board is considering some exceptions for things like medical devices.
An Alamance County school removed the bathroom mirrors after students were caught making TikTok videos during class time. Southern Alamance Middle School removed the mirrors to cut down on distractions. Officials say they've seen fewer students asking to be excused during class since the mirrors were removed. They've also started using a digital hall pass system to keep track of students.
Starting next year, Netflix will begin streaming WWE Raw. The 10-year deal between Netflix and TKO Group Holdings, which is the parent company of WWE, is valued at more than $5 billion. Netflix has made a few attempts at live programming, but has never struck a long-term sports right deal before this. In a separate announcement, TKO announced that former wrestling superstar Dwayne The Rock Johnson will join its board of directors.
Our pet of the day is a snuggly beagle mix who has taken to Tri-Beagle Rescue and her owner had to move out of the country. Nyla has a unique look and gorgeous eyes there, one blue, one brown, you see. She enjoys hanging out in the backyard, running races with her beagle buddies. After her outdoor adventures, Nyla enjoys setting in for a good nap. She is good with other dogs, but would also be okay as an only pet. She's great with kids, even house trained. To learn more about adopting Nyla, visit tribeagles.org.
A sweet girl.
Yeah.
All right, NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.